Mornings on SEN.
Yeah, it's a very good morning. If you're just joining us, it has been a busy first hour. It took a stack of your calls. A lot of news around Jack Gunston is off to Brisbane. Have Hawthorn cut their list too deep? And do we expect them to go right back to the bottom next year? I certainly do. It's going to be a really challenging situation with a lack of experience there. Josh Dunkley, awkwardly, I guess, won the Western Bulldogs' best and fairest last night, but he fronted up, he made a speech. And good on him for doing that. But now he will join the Brisbane Lions. We chatted to Luke Hodge about the situation unfolding at Hawthorn, his relationship with Chris Fagan and how he sees the events of the last week and a bit, and Brad Scott firming as the Essendon coach. A lot of you had your say on that very, very shortly. We're going to talk some basketball as the Opals are through to the quarterfinal. They're going to take on Belgium tonight. Can't wait for that one. Our expert is Megan Huswaite. She is going to join us in a matter of moments. In the meantime, a lot of you want to have your say, including Dan, who is in Elwood. G'day, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Kane, hope you're well, mate. I feel like it's customary to say well done on the marathon. Hopefully the body was well rested on a spinal ease in the evenings and you're feeling good these days.
Well played to you. Hey, you want to speak about Sam Walsh?
Yeah, mate, I do. Look, I'm I saw your piece on AFL Trade in respect to those 10 supposedly like kind of best player pickups, which we know some won't be happening, but mate, I have to call you up. You gave apologies to Toby Green, Ben King, Rosie, Horn Francis, Tim English, Darcy Moore and Wietering for not mentioning them.
You're very picky.
Do you have a chip on your shoulder with
No,
with
you're very,
Sam
you're very
like,
picky.
Why would
because
you mention
I,
Sam Rolfe?
No, you're very picky because in the same, in a different segment, I was putting some names towards Matthew Lloyd on which players now North Melbourne would swap pick one for. And he only had six, Lloydy. And I said, well, what about Sam Walsh? You'd definitely swap pick one for Sam Walsh. I was actually defensive of him there. But now, in relation to what you're talking about, it was those prime assets that clubs have. So if those players were on the market, which players are the most valuable asset right now? And I had Charlie Curnow as number one, you know, Sam Darcy and Sam De Koning and other players like that. Max King didn't have Sam Walsh in the top 10. Nick Dacos I had, but I think you've been a bit picky. I'm a Sam Walsh fan. There's no doubt about that. I think he's going to be outstanding and he'll be the next captain of Carlton. So as much as people don't believe me, I do love Sam Walsh and the way he goes about it. But Dan, thanks for your thoughts on that. Let's go to Paran and speak to Pete. The Hawthorn situation, Pete, have you got a thought on that?
Yeah, I do. Firstly, I'd say that Dan must work in advertising because I think your sponsor, Spinal Ease, missed a massive opportunity to get live calls from you while you're doing the run and seeking how you're feeling. Well, I can see it. Day three, I'm feeling great. Just got up off my pillow.
Just on the spinal ease, so, yeah.
Yeah, I massive opportunity to miss there. Next one, Kane. Look, on Hawthorn, Kane, we spoke about it. I called you yesterday, and I kind of thought about it all day. And one thing occurred to me at the end of the day, which is pretty obvious. How, given the allegation about Russian mafia, which is absolutely unbelievable in terms of the sensationalism behind it, how does a club in this day and age who is reported to be behaving in that manner not only win one premiership but win three premierships in a row? You would expect logically that the players would have been revolting out of the club. So that's the first big hole in that allegation. Secondly, we know that Clarko was quite evolutionary, if not revolutionary, in setting up people, bringing people into the club, like Fagan, because of his teaching background, specifically for player welfare and for nurturing players. And we know Fagan is spoken of in Brisbane as a very nurturing person. That's in support of that point. But the first point to me is the one that leaves the biggest hole. How can a club who's so toxic, apparently, and the senior coaches are so toxic, win three premierships in a row? One, you might swallow. Three in a row with a toxic environment? You've got to be kidding me.
Thanks, Pete. Yeah, well, I think you can separate the two. I think, you know, some individuals or some sporting teams have had, now I'm not having a view one way or the other, but there have been individuals or teams that have had great success. Doesn't mean the culture of the club and everything that was done during those times was above board, despite the success that they had. But I certainly understand your point, Pete. And unfortunately, it's just a really sad situation. And there isn't going to be any winners out of this, perhaps other than the lawyers that are just going to clean up in this situation. And it's going to drag on and drag on and drag on. And until it is finalised, it's really difficult to see Chris Fagan and Alistair Clarkson coaching their clubs. In fact, we might have a listen to Caroline Wilson, who spoke on Sports Day last night about just that.
Even if they're, you know, 20% true, you would think that Alistair Clarkson will never coach again. And I'm sorry to be brutal, but no, that's the way it sits at the moment. If they are proven to be 100% wrong, then Alistair Clarkson has had his reputation completely smeared, and I'm sure we'll take legal action. But look, I really think it's going to be difficult for Alistair, Shane.
Yep.
I think there's I'm sure North are backing him and say they want him back. Brisbane feel the same way about Chris Fagan, but I can't see Alistair Clarkson coaching North Melbourne certainly this year.
Can't see Alistair Clarkson coaching North Melbourne this year. North fans, I'm sure that doesn't sit with you well at all after the adulation and the joy when he was announced as North Melbourne coach. Tim's on the line. Joel Selwood announced his retirement yesterday. Tim, where does he sit amongst the players that you've seen?
Hey, Kane, look, I've got to say, mate, that I don't think I've ever seen a better role model in my life playing footy and watching footy. His attitude towards everything is just amazing. I actually think that if any club was going to grab him, I think Collingwood, I think he would be a great mentor for De Goey to pull his head into line and get him to understand that it's not all about him, it's about the club. And I think Joel Selwood, you just have to see, like I'm not a big social media person, but what he did for the young fella, you know, on the boundary line, I work with disability, and it was just amazing what he did. It just goes to show where his heart lies, mate. And I just think that if anyone's going to grab him, wherever to go he goes, whether it be St Kilda or Collingwood or wherever else he goes, I'd be approaching Joel Selwood and saying, get this kid in the line, because he's a great player.
I hope with everything that Joel Selwood coaches, because I'd love to see him coach and be a senior coach. And maybe the Sam Mitchell model is the way to go for Joel. He probably has to go to another club, as much as you just can't see him in another club other than Geelong. I'll just, you know, from a selfish point of view, don't want to lose Joel Selwood to the game. And I think, you know, we've seen Lee Matthews just be an outstanding player, an outstanding coach. It's probably more rare than it is common to have those great players go on to be great coaches. But I want to see Joel Selwood stay in the game, and I'd love to see him follow the Sam Mitchell model and perhaps go to another club for 3, 4, 5 years and then have an opportunity to be a senior coach, because he would, he has that aura about him that some of the great coaches do. Tim, it's a good thought that you have this morning. David's in Seaford. Brodie Grundy is probably going to leave Collingwood and join the D's. Dave, do you think that works?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to get your opinion of it. I mean, we've lost Luke Jackson, who's like a two-pronged player.
Mm.
And then our issue was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a forward line, wasn't it, in this year? And I don't know. I mean, are we just hoping that there's going to be organic growth with our forwards once they get fit again next year? Or should we be chasing a couple? And I think Grundy's a great player. I just don't know how he's going to work with Maxie out in the middle. What do you reckon?
Oh, I reckon it's a great story, because I'm interested to see how it works. I think there'd be some clubs looking at what Geelong have done with Blixarves and going, hey, well, Grundy's pretty athletic. He's a low 20s sort of extra midfielder as a ruckman. How can we uniquely use, you know, Maxi behind the ball and as a spare behind the ball, but also pushing forward, and then use Grundy like Geelong have used Blixarves as that extra midfielder? So I think there's some other teams that will be doing the same. I think Fremantle with Sean Darcy and Luke Jackson will be doing the same. And we know success makes other people copy. I just think there's some teams looking at going, how can we deploy the tactic of what Geelong have done with Blixarves? And if we get Grundy super fit, perhaps we can go that way. You're right, doesn't solve their forward issues personnel-wise, but I think it gives them some flexibility with their game plan. And I think they're instantly better. He's a much better player than Luke Jackson, Brodie Grundy is right now. So and then you get the two first round draft picks for Jackson leaving. So I think it's a terrific opportunity for Melbourne. I think they'll be right in amongst it next year again. Righto, the Opals are flying, and everything that we spoke to Megan Huswaite about on, I think it was Tuesday, sort of worked out in the Aussies' favour. They're going to take on Belgium in the quarterfinal of the World Cup tonight. Megan, good morning.
Good morning, Kane. Happy quarterfinals day.
The Serbs, they did it for us.
They did. It worked out perfectly for the Opals. They got a very good win over France, which meant that we needed to beat Japan, which we did. We had a few little tense moments, but we did get that win and finish top of Pool B, which was a huge achievement considering that 1 week ago on day one of the tournament, we had a shock loss to France. So it's been a huge run home from the Opals.
What are our chances like tonight?
Our chances tonight are excellent. We should beat Belgium, all things equal. Emma Meeseman is one of the best players in the world, who is a superstar in the WNBA and plays for Belgium. She has been injured during this tournament, so she won't be playing for them tonight. And last time we played Belgium was in the opening game of the Tokyo Olympics, and she gave us a masterclass. So she's a huge out, but in saying that, Belgium have got to this point either without her, or when they did have her, she wasn't dominating. So they've been playing some serious team basketball, and they got within 15 of the USA, which is no mean feat. So they will be tough opposition.
Now, the Opals had a rest day yesterday. What did they do to get some added inspiration?
Well, the Opals had a reunion yesterday where over 200 past players, coaches and officials gathered together in the one room. There were players from the very first Women's World Cup team in 1957. And the 2006 Opals are the only Australian senior basketball team to win a gold medal at either World Cup or Olympic level. And it was announced yesterday that they will be the first team inducted into the Australian Basketball Hall of Fame. So that was quite an emotional moment. Lauren Jackson, Penny Taylor, Erin Phillips, famous names in that team. So the 2022 team came along and watched that presentation and rubbed shoulders with some of the trailblazers who came before them, which was very inspiring for them. They got a standing ovation when they entered the venue. So who knows, perhaps it's something like that, and seeing the 2006 World Cup champ that might be able to provide a little bit of extra motivation and inspiration for the next couple of days.
Now, you know my thoughts on Beck Allen. She's a superstar. What's the starting five looking like tonight, and will she be fit?
Yes, I do know your thoughts on Beck Allen. Look, not sure whether she will play tonight. She was still a bit ginger yesterday. I had a quick chat to her. Look, the Opals are certainly hopeful she'll suit up tonight, but there's still a couple of big days to come. So we know that we've avoided the USA. We would potentially play them in a gold medal game, which would be a dream result. But if we win tonight, we're likely to play China. And that is going to be super tough tomorrow. So I think if we do see Beck Allen, it will be on managed minutes, because we've got to be mindful that we're hopefully going to get her through for another 3 days.
And the GOAT, Lauren Jackson, in an ideal world, how many minutes does she play tonight?
I think she can certainly play more minutes tonight. Particularly with that matchup with Belgium. In saying that, she'll need to play a few more minutes tomorrow night because China have some seriously big girls. So again, I think, you know, a week into the tournament, players have been managed a little bit over the last few days. So it's going to be really fascinating to see sort of what combinations and subs Coach Sandy Brondello goes with.
All right, well, we're going to strap ourselves in for a big one. You've been all over it, and we'll continue to chat through with you the longer the tournament goes on. But good luck to the Aussies tonight. You're tipping a win?
Absolutely. Yes, Kane, thank you, and go Opals.
Bang, go Opals. Megan Huswaite joining us there. She's been our expert through the FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup. The Aussies taking on Belgium tonight. About 8:30 Melbourne time tonight. USA taking on Serbia. China taking on France. Puerto Rico, I should say, taking on Canada as well.